God, Genesis chapter 6. We're in the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings here at Bradley Baptist Church. It's an excellent start message in chapter 6, because there's so much in chapter 6 with Noah and the days before the flood, after the flood. And so Genesis chapter 6 is recorded, and I trust that you're enjoying this. There's an outline in the bulletin if you want to follow along this morning. So in the Gospel of Matthew, the reason Noah is such a great figure is historical figure is because even though it's listed here in the book of Genesis, Jesus spoke about Noah in the New Testament. He called Noah by name and he said, I will come again. It will be as the days of Noah when I will return. And so we kind of piggyback or we kind of like springboard off of that New Testament verse that Jesus talks about so we can understand what the days of Noah was like. And then we can be the judge, we can be the jury, we can be the deciders. Are we living in the days of Noah? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. And so we will, again, dive into some more verses here as we think about the days of Noah. And are the days of 2023 like those days that we read out of Scripture? Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth was, also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So as it was, so shall it be. So as we get started on this message today, I want you in your mind to think like, are the days that I'm describing, the days of Noah, are they similar? Do they measure up? Do they mimic the days, our days, measure up to the days that we see here in Scripture? And we can just decide for ourselves if Jesus is on his way sooner rather than later. So number one, the days of Noah was a day of sensual perversion. Sensual perversion. In verse 11, the earth was corrupt, was filled with violence. We saw in verse 1 and 2 in Genesis chapter 6 that men began to take wives, plural. And they began to, the demons that were cast, the angels that were cast out of heaven, simply overtook men, and those men began to have relationships with women, and the offspring were giants, and it was just crazy, multiple wives, many wives, plural wives. And so the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Verse 5 said that God saw the wickedness of man and every imagination of his thoughts, and his heart was evil continually. And so it was the day of Noah was a day of sensual perversion. Men became so vile. Men became so vulgar, men became so violent that his actions were out of control. His actions were out of bounds. With unthinkable imaginations and affections. It was a day of sensual perversion. There's a book called for grade school students. There's a book called Gay BCs. The Gay BCs that are being taught, that are being shown, that are in our public schools to our young children. It's material that's so vulgar that you can't show it publicly. You can't show the book called The Gay BC on TV because it'll get wiped off or washed off or taken off because it's so vulgar, it's so wicked, it's so evil, it's so corrupt. But oh no, it's okay to show our young children in schools. It's okay to teach them the gay BCs. It's okay that they can do it. And we're fortunate here at Stratton to have many school teachers in our small church. And I'm thankful for teachers. I'm thankful for teachers that have a heart to teach in the day and age we live in that's so hard. And it seems like everything is against public school teachers today. So my hat's off to you. I want to thank you publicly for what you do. But just as an example, let me share the gay BCs, the book itself, to toddlers, to not infants, but to kindergarten through fifth grade. The A stands for Ally. And it's teaching our young kids, Ally is for allies or friends who should support you in what decisions you make. We're for friends. We're for our children having friends. But that book starts to brainwash and starts to twist and turn the little sponge minds of these little ones. A is for allies, for ally. B is for bi. He goes on to say it loud, say it proud. I like boys and girls. Sounds so innocent. It sounds so honest. The C stands for coming out. Come out and just share how you really feel on the inside. It's a day of wickedness. It's a day of evilness. It's a day of corruptness right here in 2023 in our public schools. These schools are grooming our children to material that's too heavy, that's too deep, that's too ugly. And they're doing it for the purpose that that which is abnormal but will become just normal. That which is abnormal will be taught in a way that would allow children to begin to wonder and to begin to think and to begin to simply have some curiosity and to simply have little minds that want to explore and experiment with an instinct that's wrong, but their little minds have been taught, and that's the purpose of what's going on in our public schools today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. So, I don't know, are we very far away? Because what's being taught are not the thoughts of a holy God. No way. We have in our public schools, in our great country called America, drag queens infiltrating our grade schools. We have parades that are called Pride Month parades, where nothing is left to the imagination. We have the sin of homosexuality that's permeated our land. It's crammed down our throats. It's become the norm of the day. All this transgender and all this sharing locker rooms and all this girls on boys teams and boys on girls teams and all this stuff that's being just taught and we haven't accepted and we don't need to, we ought to be tolerant. They're never tolerant. Hey, let me just ask you this. If our school teachers turn that around and they baptize children at school without asking their parents, without asking their guardians, if we baptize children in our public schools and sent them home and told them what we did, and you can like it or lump it, you know what they would do? They would turn on us. Mm-hmm. It's okay for them to push filth and vulgarity and corruption and all this wrong left-wing stuff down our throats, but the minute you want to try to do something good, you're the outcast, you're not tolerable, you don't tolerate, you don't act like a Christian, and that's what's happening. Let me just ask you,
All these things we talk about, this happened in our schools. That's happened in our education system. It puts parents on the outside. It allows children to decide at 5 and 6 and 7 years old, make decisions for themselves without parents knowing it. Hey, I'm just saying that's an abomination in the eyes of God. God gave children parents because children need parents. We're to parent our children. It's not the school's job to parent them. It's not the state's job to parent them. It's not the federal government's job to parent them. No, no, no. It's our job as parents and grandparents to simply parent our children, and that's what's happened in our day. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the when the Son of Man shall return. This homosexuality stuff is but almost become so common it don't even seem to faze us anymore. It don't seem to bother us anymore. That was the goal. And we're just in chapter 6, but we're going to get in chapter 13, and we're going to see homosexuality up front, personal, in our face, there in chapter 13 in the book of Genesis, and you're going to see for real what took place. Here's what the Bible says in the New Testament about homosexuality in chapter 1, Romans. It calls it out. It says it's unnatural. It calls it out. It calls it error. Hey, in chapter 1 of Romans, it calls it sin. It says it's wrong. In the book of Leviticus, it says this: if mankind, either gender, if mankind lies with mankind like he does womankind, he shall be put to death. God was against it then. God's against it today. It's God's law. It's not my law. It's Bradley's law. Southern Baptist law. It's the word of God's law. And lo and behold, but in 2023, we have same-sex marriages. In 2023, we've got affairs. In 2023, we've got people living together. In 2023, we've got prostitution. In 2023, we've got trafficking children like never before. Hey, Spradlin church family, you make the call. Hey, church family, you be the judge this morning. Hey, church family, you decide, are we mimicking the days of Noah in sensual perversion? The second thing I see here in the days of Noah, Noah's day was a day of scientific progress. In verse 13, the Bible says, And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has become before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And in verse 14, he says, So make thee an ark of gopher wood. So the Noah's day was a day of scientific progress, starting with the ark that God commanded Noah to build. You see, Noah's day had men with great ability. We think, well, man, they were just a new civilization. We think that they lived in caves. We think they were cave men, cave women. We think they were just they kind of lived off the land. But in Noah's day, they were men with great ability. They were discovering. They were inventing. They were creating new, great scientific things. There was scientific progress in Noah's day. In Genesis chapter 4, Enoch, Cain's son, it says just in two chapters before chapter 6, it says Enoch, Cain's son, builded a city. They were city builders. That's what they were. They were people of scientific progress. In verse 22 in chapter 4, it says they had craftsmen. They had craftsmen in those days that built those cities. Craftsmen of brass. Craftsmen of iron, craftsmen that forged metals. Man, they men of brass and iron. They forged metals to build their cities. In verse 21, it said there was builders in those days of complex musical instruments. It was a day of scientific progress. They built harps, the Bible says. They built the flute, the organ. They were tent makers. I'm just telling you, it was a day of scientific progress in Noah's day. Noah's day was a day of new technology, of scientific progress going forward. Think about the ark. 450 foot long, 3.5 stories tall, 75 feet wide, huge, massive structure for those days. It's a massive structure for our days.
The deck of the ark was equivalent to 20 basketball courts. Just the deck. They had room to carry, according to Bible scholars and Bible historians say, that in the ark there was room to carry 520 railroad boxcars. Just in that one ark. Next time you're in a train and you're waiting on this town, you'll never get to 520. 520 of those boxcars could simply fit in this structure called an ark in Noah's day. It says they could easily carry 125,000 sheep. It was also going to be made to carry 8 human souls. 2 of every animal, every fowl, every creeping thing, male and female. And so what a day of scientific progress. God just said, hey, I'm going to destroy the world. And before I do it, Noah, hey, I'm giving you instruction. You build an ark. Never rained before. And then the ark had to be strong. The ark had to be sturdy. The ark had to be stable enough to carry the precious cargo that would end up populating, refilling, replenishing the earth after the flood. It also had to be waterproof. It was a day of scientific progress. I mean, it never rained before. Bible scholar says it never rained before, that the dew just came up and watered the land. But the flood's coming, and we're going to build a boat, and we're going to put precious cargo on there so we can simply have a world. We can have a population of humans as well as animal life. And so we have to make it waterproof because of all the water. In verse 14, it says, make the ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood, according to Bible scholars, is from the cypress family. You know, when they think about cypress trees, they're beautiful. They excel in water along the Mississippi, especially. Hey, tons of cypress trees in the cypress family, which are known as incorruptible wood. And so it was a day of scientific progress. And God tells Noah, build an ark, which we would think is probably more like a tanker, barge, on an ocean voyage. And then it says, not only build it of gopher wood, and here's the instructions of the dimensions, but then the Bible says that, and shall pitch it within without. You gotta pitch it. What does that mean? Well, that means the interior, as well as the exterior of this massive ark, there's going to be a pitch on there. Well, pitch is the Bible word for a tone. Isn't that interesting? The ark simply would be sealed with a pitch, tar, slime, something that would waterproof this vessel. And it just so happens that word, simply in the Hebrew, simply means or is a word for atonement. This ark, this cargo filled with this filled vessel would be sealed, secured with pitch, teaching us what Noah had faith in, that our security is in God through his atonement, not in our works or ourselves. And so what an amazing thing. What amazing day. What amazing men. What an amazing civilization that we see here in the days of Noah. Think about 2023. Think about the scientific progress we see in our life, we see in our day of 2023. From the horse and buggy days to man walking on the moon, 1969, nothing seems to be out of reach concerning technology, concerning scientific progress. It's there every day, something new. Every day, something amazes us. Every day, something just astonishes us with a wow that we can't believe that. Fred Williams, who used to be a member here in our church, told me that at the 188th National Guard facilities here in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that they have what is known as the black box. The black box is a sealed-off room here in Fort Smith, Arkansas, of all places, where pilots from across the globe fly into Fort Smith, Arkansas, the 188, and they go there with credentials, and they're allowed to go in this black box room
where from Fort Smith, Arkansas, they fly drones from our city, and they fly drones from Fort Smith in the black box all over the world, like Pakistan. They're monitoring, they're filming, they're recording, they're killing, they're doing whatever they do there. What technology, what an amazement, scientific progress that happens, and it happens right here underneath our noses here in Fort Smith, taking place across the world, and that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. They built that boat that was a scientific progress. They built organs and harps and musical instruments. They built cities. They forged metals and brass and iron. It was a day of scientific progress. And today, has we ever been more scientific progress than we see today? You be the judge. You make the decision. You decide, are we living in days that was much like Noah's day? A day of sexual perversion, a day of scientific progress. Thirdly, Noah's day was a day of social panic. In chapter 1, verse 6, man began to multiply, it says. In verse 11, we just read it, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. You listen to the news, you read the newspapers, you can get online and see some of this stuff, and you go like, wow, people are just drive-by shootings, and you just kill people for nothing, and all the looting, and all the violence, and all the things we see. In Noah's day, it started off with an explosion of the population. And the population began to expand so much that all of a sudden there was violence connected to it. And it got so bad that it wasn't me or you or some human, but God himself who had created the human population. It got so bad and so violent, so corrupt and so vile that God himself decided, I'm going to destroy my number one creation, man himself. I'm going to destroy whom I made. It was a day of social panic. And in 2023, the day you and I live in, our national debt is unsustainable. We see it, and all of a sudden we're going like, it's going to catch up with us if it hadn't already caught up with us. And it's going to trickle down and affect us. Of course it is. And people think about it all the time. Social panic. Our open border is so messy. It's so chaotic. It's so dangerous. Food, fuel, farming, prices are out the roof. Can't take a trip because of gas. You can't go to the grocery store because of cost. Farming is killing our farming industry because they can't hardly get rid of stuff and people can't pay it. Today, a social panic in Noah's day. I wonder if that's affecting us as social panic. I think so. We think about our safety, our security, our sickness. Huge concerns. Huge concerns with masks coming back, and you hear that just kind of creeping in, and COVID coming back, you see it creeping in, and we can't help but think back just a couple of years of how hard that was and what a struggle it was and how it messed so many things up. But hey, it was a day of social panic in Noah's day. And I'm just asking you, are those days similar to Noah's day that we're living in 2023? Great racial hatred, everything's a race car, everybody blames this and that, and you see it, and it's pushed down our throats. Just in Australia last week, they said that people who play chess, now I'm a chess player, you play chess, I'd like to meet you. It's hard to find people that do play chess. I'm a chess player, not very good, because you can't find people to play with, so you don't get good. But the truth is, people in Australia, people who play chess are racist, because there's white pieces and there's black pieces, and white always goes first, and they say they're racist. That's how silly it's gotten. We live in a day that is like that. And it's so it's absurd how crazy it is. Hey, we feed people social panic because of our futures, our fortunes, our retirements. And people are stressed. It's probably not a day going by where people are wondering, like, is retirement going to be there when I get there? Is it going to be the same? Am I going to be able to make it? Because that's the news of the day. People are panicking socially. And Jesus said it, not me, but Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. You make the call. You decide. You be the judge. Are we living in those days? As we describe the days of Noah, it exploded with population. Violence was corrupt. Violence was everywhere. Corruption was everywhere. And God got into here to where he was going to just end civilization as it was known. And I wonder, are we about there? They have social panic. Last of all, Noah's day was a day of sudden presence. Chapter 7, the Bible says, the day came when God said unto Noah, come thou into the ark. Sudden presence. Now, it's been 120 years. God gave Noah 120 years to warn, to preach, to teach, to get that boat ready, to get that ark ready. And he gave him 120 years. That 120 years that God gave Noah was a timeline, was a grace line, where Noah warned them loud and clear what God's judgment was going to do, what his wrath was going to happen. And God gave them 120 years to simply hear the gospel, to hear how you can get out and escape this. And so God gave them 120 years. And all of a sudden, God-given instinct, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just God-given instinct, animals, pairs of a male and a female. Just out of nowhere, God had given instinct. Animals begin to move toward the ark. They didn't go herd them. They didn't go catch them. They didn't go have them ready. No, it was a God deal. God spoke to the animals. And God given instinct. Animals begin to come two by two, a male and female. They begin to come to the ark. And they begin to line up to come into the ark because the 120-year TikToker was fixing to strike time. All animals, each animals and fowls and creeping things and beasts all went in the side door of the ark. Noah and his family all went in that one side door too. There was one door and they all went in there and loaded up. And the Bible says in chapter 9, it says, and the Lord shut them in. They came in after 120 years. They came in. And what a picture of salvation we have there. A picture of salvation. You see, I'm here to tell you, friends, and the pastor here, Bradley Baptist Church, I'm here to tell you, there are not several ways, there's not many ways, there's not a multiple choice way when it comes to salvation. Jesus simply said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. On this day, on that day in Noah's day, here in chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, we have salvation pictured. Hey, we got a boat that's pitched on the inside and out. It's the security of God. And he keeps us saved. Hey, and then it's to be saved, to escape, to go to heaven. You got to be born again. And someone says, well, Brother Don, you all say that. You Baptist preachers are good at saying there's only one way to heaven. Hey, what about, don't God have a special plan for the Jews? Oh, yeah, he has a special plan. Let me just share it with you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the special plan he has for the Jews, because he has the same plan for you and I. And it's one way to get saved, one way to go to heaven, it's one way to be born again, and that's God's way. Hey, if you want to get out of the world alive, if you want to get out of the soon coming judgment, you've got to come through Jesus. That's the way of escape. And we see it pictured here, and we understand it today. God calls the shots, God closed the door of the ark, and there they were. Think about it. 120 years preaching, 120 years building, 120 years being mocked, 120 years being scoffed at, made fun of. And all of a sudden they get on the boat, All the animals are there. Noah and his wife and his three boys and their wives are all in there. And the door is shut. They can't get out. God shut the door. They're inside there. And lo and behold, nothing happened the first day. Nothing happened the second day. Nothing happened the third day. Nothing happened for the first 7 days. Let me read you between the lines, okay, that might not be in your scripture. Here goes. Dan Rad was reported. Oh, just a follow-up on that weird family led by Noah and his unusual boat. They've been shut up inside for 7 days now. We'll be standing here to report when the old crackpot exits and comes up with an excuse about the flood. When all of a sudden, after 7 days and seven nights, all of a sudden there comes a raindrop. No one's ever seen a raindrop. No one's ever heard a raindrop. No one's ever watched a raindrop. And all of a sudden a raindrop comes out of the skies. And then another, and then another, and then another. And all of a sudden, Scripture tells us in verse 11, the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. It was a day of sudden presence. The day came. The hour sounded. God sent rain. And man, did he send rain. He sent rain from the skies down. He sent rain from the earth up. He sent it for 40 days and 40 nights. And the highest mountains on earth was covered with rain, was covered with water, was covered with a flood. And everything in the earth died. Everything was extinguished. Everything was dead. Everything died. And except what was in the ark, there it was. And when God came, and the flood came, and the warning happened, then all of a sudden there was a lot of people asleep. It caught a lot of people off guard. It caught a lot of people unprepared. It caught a lot of people unready. It was a day of sudden presence. Can you imagine the hysteria? Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the folks that all of a sudden got right with God? All of a sudden they believed Noah. All of a sudden they went in the ark. All of a sudden they're banging on the side of the ark. Let me in. We just had it here in our country. The state was Hawaii, our 50th state. Lo and behold, just overnight, just out of the clear blue, a fire came, and the next thing you know, it's devastation like you can't recognize. That quick, that fast. Unbelievable. I talked to our yard guy that does such a good job on our yard here at Spradley. He's a fireman, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, man, we're firemen. We study this kind of stuff, and we look at it, and we go like the perfect storm that we always heard about, and we finally saw it, where everything had to be perfect for that to go and devastate that state, like that island, like it did in Maui, so we understand the sudden presence that can happen. That's exactly what we see here. You had people screaming that were unbelievers. We believe you now, Noah. We're ready now, Noah. Open the door, Noah. And men began to run for the mountains because they saw the water coming up and seeping up and getting deeper and deeper. They said, well, let's just go to a high mountain and we'll be safe. And they ran to the mountains, and so did animals. It was an instinct for animals just to go to the high land. In chapter 6, verse 12, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. In chapter 7, verse 19, the floodwaters prevailed upon the earth, and all high hills were covered, that's Bible. And Noah and his crew, his wife, three boys, and his three daughter-in-laws were inside the safety of the ark for 1 year and 10 days. As the days of Noah. Jesus said in the New Testament, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes again. I don't know about you, but it sounds pretty clear that we're living in days like Noah. My question, are you ready? My question, are you saved? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't be caught off guard. You've been warned. You've been told. Judgment's coming. Jesus is coming to get us out of here. He'll never destroy the world again with water. He'll just do it with fire.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that we've got something we can depend on 100%. So, Father, we pray that Holy Spirit, you just prick our hearts. Someone here, they're not sure. Someone here, they don't know. Someone here, they're just for sure not wrong. Today would be a wonderful day for them to get it settled, because you're coming. You're coming like a thief in the night. You're coming when no one's ready. Lord, I pray that we'd all be ready before we leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us in an invitation. You can join in with us. We can help you come this morning. God loves you. Jesus died for you. I want you to spend eternity with him. He's prepared a place for those, and he knows we'll be there. You're one of them. The others that were
holy, you will not pass me by. Let me at that throne of mercy find the sweet relief. Many there in deep contrition of my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble prayer.
Again, thank you so much for your attention. It's always a blessing to me to